So you raised a chunk of change today, or you've announced that you raised a chunk of change today. Tell us, just tell us a little bit about it and kind of, you know, how long it's been in the works, and then kind of what the plan is with the funds.
Yeah, so first of all, the funding is from our existing investors. We didn't go out and do a big process and talk to everyone. And it really is a mark of kind of their belief in what we're doing, that they felt like this was a good time to put more money into the company. You know, quite a lot has changed over the past year. You know, the company's actually profitable and has been got profitable at the beginning of this year. And so, you know, we were getting nice growth, operating the company effectively and efficiently. Obviously, COVID hit, which had an impact on our clients. What we saw was that, you know, the vast majority of our businesses utilize our product essentially to drive foot traffic, reservations, calls into brick and mortar local businesses. That's what we do. And obviously those businesses were highly impacted by COVID. But interestingly, the interest in our product increased during COVID because it became more important than ever to get the right information onto all of the digital channels that consumers were looking at. And so we saw a lot of growth in interest, a lot of growth in usage, over a doubling in use of our product over a 3-month period.
What do you attribute that to? I mean, not COVID, I mean, but just kind of down into that a little.
Yeah, I mean, it's partly because a lot of information was changing, right? So one of the things that our customers use our platform for is the kind of centralized system of record for everything to do with locations, from opening and closing hours to amenities and so on. And quite a lot of that was fluid during COVID. Also, a lot of our bigger network partners brought new products to market that we were the first to kind of take advantage of. So for instance, Google Posts was opened up at the beginning of COVID to enable brands to have a better kind of conversation with their customers about what was going on at their local stores. That's a product that's available in our system. So a lot of it was because of the fluidity of what was occurring. I think the other aspect that we saw a huge uptick in is social, local social. So one of the things that we do is really kind of enable a multi-location brand to have a local social identity, sort of every store. And that became one of the primary ways that many of our clients could communicate with their consumer. Normally, you're communicating with the consumers by a natural relationship of them walking past your store every day, walking in and experiencing. When, you know, it's a restaurant where you're only doing curbside pickup, or, you know, it's a retail environment that you're not actually visiting, you lose that connection with the consumer. And so a lot of the kind of savvy brands used the fact that the client, you know, their customer base was literally kind of locked indoors to continue a relationship that wasn't expensive. It was, a lot of it was free, but on social. And so our platform enabled them to do that. So we saw a massive uptake in interest, usage, and business in general because of that. So counterintuitively, you know, we did really well during COVID. We didn't lose customers. In fact, you know, we ended up on the kind of essential list for just nearly all of our customers. And awareness of what we were capable of doing became much better amongst companies that weren't currently using our platform. So, you know, the investors looked at that and said, there aren't that many opportunities in technology right now that are as good as this, that are sort of becoming growing categories and are becoming more important during this sort of economic downturn and sort of turbulence in the market. And so they were very encouraged to invest in us. And, you know, we also had, you know, a vision about what we wanted to do and a remarkably ambitious product roadmap. And when we sat down and said, this is everything we would want to do, and it will be tremendous. We'll be light years ahead of any of the competition if we do all of these things, but it's going to take a long time. They're like, right, well, we're going to have to put more money in because we want you to do this quickly. So that's really what happened.
Well, that's okay. So sort of like your investors, I realize this may not have been a binary choice on their part, but it was like,
yeah,
go find new things to invest in or decide to double down on something we have already invested in and know is working. Is that sort of how you would characterize it? You said something a minute ago. I just wanted to ask for an example. You said, you know, brands kind of using social as an opportunity to kind of get more engagement and connection with customers while they're stuck at home, basically. Not to put you on a spot, but do you have a couple of good illustrations of brands or businesses that have done that exceptionally well?
So, you know, a good example, like one of our clients, I actually did a webinar with them recently, is Texas Roadhouse. So Texas Roadhouse is a really interesting brand, right? They have a super loyal customer base and a real brand personality. But what they've always done is focused on having a local identity for every single one of their outlets. And so what that means is that their, you know, their store managers and their staff take an active role in responding to reviews and posting local social content. And that was tremendously successful, particularly during COVID, because, you know, obviously they have a following on social, they kept a communication going with their customer base, and they had, you know, their employees, their team members really engaged with social. So, you know, an example of what Texas Roadhouse does is, if, you know, if something interesting happens in the restaurant, like there's a dance or some interesting customer thing happens, you know, they take a photo on their phone, and unlike a lot of restaurants that, you know, stick it on the wall or whatever, they'll post it on social, they'll post it on their local Facebook page. And so they have this really kind of dynamic brand identity at a local level for every single one of their stores. And so
that's something normally an independent business would do, but brands typically don't do that sort of thing very well.
Exactly right. It's, you know, the independents tend to do a very nice job of local social. They do a very nice job, actually, of everything to do with kind of local marketing, other than perhaps some of the listing stuff. But most of it, they do a really nice job. They respond to reviews, et cetera, et cetera. Bigger brands, multi-location brands, are at a big disadvantage with that because it's more complicated to orchestrate. And that's really why we exist. That's why Moment Feed exists, because we enable multi-location brands to operate in this very kind of localized manner.
Okay. So back to the investment from your existing investors. And you mentioned, you know, product roadmap. Talk a little bit about, you know, what's the plan with the money? Hiring developers, are you investing in product? Where's the emphasis?
Yeah, so we already had a pretty large product and engineering team, Moment Feed, when I joined. You know, by most benchmarks, it's sort of as a percentage of revenue, it's sort of where most software as a service businesses would be. With this investment, we've decided to double the team, so that
the whole team,
literally twice as many engineers, twice as many product owners as we had. So
not twice as many CEOs.
Hopefully not. we're doubling that team, and we're actually we received some of that funding a couple of months ago. You know, and we've already done a huge amount of hiring. I think we've hired 35 engineers in the past 2 months, which is pretty remarkable speed. Wow. We're going gangbusters on that. That's really kind of how you accelerate product roadmap. That and sort of good leadership. I brought in someone that I've known for a long time that we've worked together with for, you know, many years to run our engineering team, Anna Martinez. And so she's really helping guide that team, building that team up, bringing in some really, really great talent. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously the other thing is just making sure that you have the right product roadmap. So we're spending a lot of time sort of working on innovations that no one else has, and really kind of trying to build a very consistent strategy that's going to help our customers the most. So
there's a lot of, I mean, you're not a startup, obviously you've been around a while, but yeah, there's always this talk that times like this are great times for startups. I would imagine it's probably a pretty good time to scale up in a lot of ways too, because talent is not at a premium. I mean, I know that's a little cynical, but talk about that a little in terms of like, this is a good time to be doing what you're doing in any particular way.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of evidence that the greatest innovation occurs during economic downturns for a variety of reasons, partly necessity, partly because there's more people that can be focused on an innovation rather than joining a sort of more mature business that has less sort of a more kind of risk adverse attitude. So yeah, I mean, and we're operating really quite like a startup. Yes, we've actually been around for 10 years. We kind of pioneered this industry, and we're at a pretty significant amount of scale. Like a lot of the bigger multi-location brands utilize our platform. But at the same time, we're using this to sort of really reinvent, because what we feel like is we pioneered an awful lot of things, but there's a lot of competition that's entered the market, and a lot of people have sort of followed along with a lot of our innovations. And what we want to make sure is that for the next decade, we're at the very front of all the innovations that happen, that we invent the things that enable multi-location brands to be successful. And so, yeah, it's a really kind of interesting kind of rebirth for us in many ways. You know, I'd say in terms of is it a more cost-effective time to be building up a team? Yes, maybe. But you know, one of the things that we are not taking advantage of is we've decided not to kind of build a huge marketing or sales team for the time being, but to put up, you know, sort of put our money where our mouth is and build a really fantastic product, and have, you know, keep the marketing, the sales team the same size as it has been. And then, you know, obviously we'll wait, and the proof will be in the pudding, because we'll have this better.
There will be a time for that, but maybe now isn't.
And then we'll step on it. Yeah.
That's fair. A couple of other things, and before I let you go, just kind of talking about some trends we're seeing and want to get your take on them. We were writing recently about how, you know, COVID has really sort of been a massive accelerator for tech adoption, particularly like, you know, communications technologies, whatever it is, across the stack. It's gone from whatever here on, and it's been a bit of a surge in tech adoption. Are you seeing this? And then also the other part of it is, what do you think happens on the other side of it? Do you think there's a let off, you know, because of sort of an artificial bump from COVID? And how are you planning around that, those thoughts?
Yeah, so, you know, I'd say certainly in the business-to-business side, everyone's sort of gone, you know, into their home offices, and that's changed the nature of work a lot. Obviously, it's slightly different in terms of what we do, because we're kind of interfacing with the consumer, or at least we're helping our brands interface with the consumer. But their behaviors change radically as well. So certainly brands have had to become even more savvy about how to attract a kind of technology first consumer who wants to get all of their data and all of their information on their mobile phone or on a laptop before they make any decision. That's accelerated. I'd say also the kind of competition in a lot of our markets has kind of become intensified. When you're making your decision through your phone, or you're making a decision through what you see on your laptop, and you're given the option of visiting a local store or outlet, or just having something delivered to you or arriving in your house, whether it's through Postmates or Amazon or any other service, you really have to be there at the point of decision. And so I think that's intensified the way that multi-location brands have focused in on sort of having the right information in front of consumers at that point of decision. So that's obviously a good trend for us, because that's kind of what we help happen. Do I think it will go back? No, I do think that obviously consumers are going to go back to restaurants and retail and gyms, and I think there's a huge pent-up demand. So I think that actually, you know, we did a survey recently, and we found that post-COVID, whatever post-COVID means, there is an intensified interest in consumers going to local businesses going back to normal, but over-indexing that way. So, you know, I think that that's a great thing, hopefully, for the businesses that we serve. I think the trend of finding information online is going to continue, right? I think COVID has kind of accelerated it amongst people who hadn't sort of adopted that mode. But I think the convenience of doing that is going to stick. And, you know, I think, you know, being front and center on Google My Business, on Apple Maps, on Facebook, et cetera, that is just going to continue as a trend of being the most important thing that a CMO of a multi-location brand needs to get right.
So one last thing, and I'll let you go. And I, again, I always like to take advantage of the opportunity and get a few other questions. Cool. Early in this process, we were sort of saying, is this going to be a weeding out among platforms and agencies? What are you seeing? You just raised some money, so probably on the winner side of the equation. What are you seeing?
We definitely think that we're on the winner side of the equation. That's kind of what all of our results are indicating to us. But I would say there's quite a lot of money that continues to flow into this space, and there's quite a lot of companies of, you know, a relatively small scale. I do think there'll be consolidation. It just makes sense that there's going to be consolidation. I think there's a big market here. Like, I know there's a big market. The TAM's pretty gigantic. But typically, markets don't mature without consolidation occurring. So, you know, our intention, the reason I was brought in is to get Moment Feed to the scale of a public company so that, you know, we can go public and all the things that happen thereafter. That's going to happen because of our growth rate, our organic growth rate, but we will probably become an acquirer. Once we have the product roadmap that we're envisaging over the next 12 months, we'll start to be in a position where we intend to be one of the platforms that acquires others in this industry. So,
do you think that's a later this year scenario, or sooner, or?
I think it's probably a 2021. Okay. Activity for us.
Okay. All right. Well, great. Congrats on the round.
Thank you.
I know I'm sure very exciting news anytime, but particularly in an environment like this. So again, right. Congrats. And thank you for joining us today and sharing a little bit of color on what's going on with you guys. So appreciate it.
Yeah. It was a pleasure.
All right. Thank you.